So I'm not exactly sure what to do for the introduction into this questionnaire. I assume that if you're clicking on this, you know what this is going to be about. So I don't usually answer questionnaires because oftentimes I see them, I read the questions, and I think, oh, who would want to know this, really? But philosophical questions are very, very fun to hear people ponder and also to think about myself. And I figured that since I was going to go through all of the answers later, I would try and think about it by myself first, just in case there's someone out there who, well, like me, likes to listen to other people rack their brain and think about these sorts of questions. Alright, so before I forget to mention it, this is Before Night Falls White Rabbit Questionnaire, and the first question starts with, you're in the park when you see a white rabbit in a vest holding a pocket watch declaring to no one in particular his tardiness. Do you follow him? Do you continue down the rabbit hole knowing full well where it might lead? And me personally, I would definitely follow this rabbit. I would rather regret doing something than regret not doing something. And I tend to be a ridiculously curious person. And if there's the possibility of me finding something out that I missed out on, I get really, really upset, almost. The worst thing that you could feasibly unintentionally do to me is to say that you have something to tell me or something you'd like to tell me and then never tell me the thing. When people do that, my affection for them goes down quite a bit, but my interest in them goes up quite a lot. So yeah, knowing things is important to me, and the fact that I don't know where this rabbit would lead, well, you know, I have somewhat of an idea, considering I have in fact read an Alice in Wonderland, but since I don't quite know for sure, I would absolutely follow it. Okay, question two. Who are you, and how do you know this? The simple answer would probably be, well, I'm me, of course. Who else would I be? But I tend to think of myself and... Skype message. I tend to think of myself as almost an amalgamation of traits and habits and things that I've picked up over the years. I'm not sure which aspects of my personality developed organically or which aspects I encountered in somebody else and decided that I really wanted to be more like that. I also think that people are a series of truths, I guess. Like, not facts, like the but things that are not objectively true, but subjectively true. Like, if you like cheesecake, that's part of who you are, and that's one of your many, many truths. And if you like the color green, that's also one of your many, many truths. And if you're the sort of person who stays up at night pondering, you know, the end of the universe, that's also one of your truths. And I think that the more of these truths that you know about yourself, the more of yourself that you know, I guess, which is fairly obvious, actually. And how do I know this? I do a lot of introspection, seeing as I'm the sort of person who tends to pick up personality traits and habits because I think that other people might like them. Like, if I'm interested in somebody, I will change my personality a bit to something that I think they would find more appealing, which is probably not a good thing to do. So since I do this, and I've been doing this for many, many years, I do a lot of introspection when I am alone and I'm my most genuine self. Because I'm still trying to answer the who am I question. Yeah. Okay. Three, are you simply your mind or your body or a combination or something more? Mostly your mind, I think. Well, you know how sometimes you hear people say, oh, there's a skeleton inside you, but really, you're the brain, so you're inside the skeleton. I think that... It's mostly your mind, but it's... something more as well, I think, because I tend to think of people as the things that they learned, I guess, over time. Not like academic knowledge or anything, even if it's just things like, you know, when your best friend's birthday is or something. That's still, that still, you know, affects who you are, I think. Or not who you are, but things that you do. And the things that you do kind of show who you are. I feel like this answer is kind of meandering all over the place, and my answers are going to tend to do that. I'm not the most direct person when it comes to just voicing my own thoughts. But I think that you're definitely something more than just your mind or your body, because you are a collection of the experiences and the knowledge that you've gained over your lifetime. Define consciousness in your own words. How do you know that you're conscious? I think that consciousness is... well, not the ability to perceive your surroundings, but just perceiving your surroundings. And I do think that you are, or can be, more or less conscious. It's not like a you are or you aren't thing. Like sometimes if you're just operating on autopilot and you're not exactly fully aware, or categorizing the information you're receiving about your surroundings, then you're not as conscious, or then you're not as conscious as you could be if you are paying attention to everything. So I know I'm conscious because I can perceive my surroundings. I'm sitting up in bed, killing some time before I go to this party. And I'm hanging out with my cat, and her fur is very soft. And I'm perceiving this, so I'm conscious. Is it possible to prove that other people beside yourself have consciousness? How would you prove it? Well, I don't know if you can hear my cat making these, like, cooing sounds. But, right. So if you are, if you're Descartes and you subscribe to, you know, the brain in a jar theory, you can't really prove that anyone besides yourself exists. But I think that, I think that if they can do something unexpected, or tell you something that you don't know, or do something that you can't do, in essence, it's like, well, it doesn't really matter anyway if you're just receiving stimulus as a brain in a jar. If you're experiencing everything anywhere. I mean, I could get into the whole what is the nature of reality thing, but that's not on here. So I don't think that you can prove without a doubt that other people have consciousness, but if they share something that they've perceived about the world that you personally have not, then you can be pretty sure that they are a separate consciousness other than your own. Oh wait, no, that's question 7. Oops. I guess I'll get back to that. Does intelligence and consciousness go hand in hand? Yes and no, because if you're not conscious, you can't really be intelligent. Like, a rock doesn't perceive, and you would not call a rock intelligent, but intelligence is one of those subjective adjectives, I think, because you can't be intelligent in a vacuum. You can be conscious in a vacuum. You could, you know, perceive the lack of other things to perceive, but if there's nothing to do or to make, you know, make conjectures about, you can't really be intelligent. How can you be certain that other people exist and are not extensions of your consciousness? Well, like I said earlier, if they perceive things that you don't, or if they have opinions that you don't, or if they know things that you don't know, can a machine obtain consciousness? Why or why not? I think that with my definition of consciousness, being able to perceive, a machine can obtain consciousness because it can, but then in that case, wouldn't a camera be conscious because it's perceiving? Well, it's not really perceiving, is it? It's recording. And if you're perceiving, then you can make judgments about something and use the information that you're gaining to infer other things. So more complicated machines that learn. I feel like that's part of consciousness. You need to be able to learn from the things that you perceive. So if a machine can learn, then it's conscious. Yes. If someone is cloned, are they conscious? Are they the same person or someone new? Well, if they're perfectly cloned and the clone can, you know, get up and look at things and walk around and it's not just a body on a table, then of course they're conscious. You don't need to be the original anything to be able to learn and perceive. Are they the same person? The nanosecond that they're cloned, they are the same no, I don't think they're ever the same person, because the original person would have the, you know, the, even if you could clone memories, which I don't think you can, but if you could clone memories and they would be like an exact perfect copy of the person, The wait time between, you know, giving your DNA to be cloned and having the clone become a thing, only the original would experience that. And since they're experiencing different things, they're not the same person. Do you make choices, or are your choices only made because of forces acting on you? Ultimately, do you have free will, or is it simply an illusion? I've had this discussion with several people before, and it's always very, very entertaining, no matter what side I'm on. I have a friend who honestly does not think it matters, because you won't be able to tell or change anything about it, which I guess it doesn't really matter. So, it doesn't really matter, but it's interesting to pick a side and discuss for it. So, probably the least popular conclusion to come to is free will is simply an illusion. And free will is an illusion because every decision that you make is made because of the things that you've experienced and learned in the past. So, you know, the nurture aspect of the nature-nurture thing. And, of course, any sort of predetermined thing like chemical imbalances in the brain, that's not really something that you can control either. So if the only things that are affecting your decision are things that come from the past, they're things that have already happened. So there's really only one choice that you as a person would make given the things that you've experienced and the things that you know. So in that case, you could theoretically, if you were really, really good, predict how a person is going to react to anything if you know everything about them. And since you can do that, then there's no free will, because even if you decide to go against your natural inclination to pick something, you're only going against your natural inclination to pick something because of a different thing that you've learned. Do we have the right to be happy, or is it a privilege that must be earned? I think that, I don't think that you need to earn happiness. I think that it's either something that you are or you aren't. And whether or not you deserve it has absolutely no say in the matter. Unless, you know, you personally don't think you deserve to be happy, so you aren't. But, yeah, I think that people have the right to be happy. Because it's a state of mind, right? It's not something that other people can give you or something that you can take from anybody. What is the actual value of currency? Well, you know, you could go with the economics answer and say that currency is a representation of resources from a country. But, you know, in real life, and not if you are a regular person going about a day-to-day life that does not involve worrying about that sort of thing, the value of currency is what people are willing to give you for it. So if you have $1, or, you know, whatever currency you have where you're from, and you can buy a pack of gum with the $1, a very cheap pack of gum. But that's the value So the value of currency is the things that you can obtain from it. Unless you're the sort of person who just likes to have currency and just sit on it like a dragon, I guess. Then your personal value might be different. Every time that you wake from your bed, how can you be certain you're still not in a dream? Are you grounded in the knowledge that waking life is real and your dreams are simple fantasy? I actually, I had a series of dreams at one point where falling asleep in real life ended up being waking up in the dream world, and falling asleep in the dream world ended up being waking up in the real world. And it really confused me for quite some time. There are strategies that you can use to tell if you're dreaming or not, like smelling things or being able to read. Apparently you're not supposed to be able to read in dreams. And changing light levels. Like if you encountered a light switch and you were dreaming and you flipped the light switch, nothing would change. And of course you could pinch yourself or something and you'd be able to tell. But even if you could do all of those things and they pointed to you being reality but you were in a dream, I think that would be a question about the nature of reality, right? Because who's to say what really is reality? What really is reality? Awkward sentence. But the things that you perceive with your, you know, the thing, the feelings, the inputs that are filtered through your brain are, yeah. So as long as you're feeling and seeing and tasting and smelling and hearing everything with the same vibrancy, I suppose, then that would be reality, either way. Are you certain of your own existence? Yes. I know I exist because I can wonder if I exist. If I could not wonder, I mean, if you didn't exist, you wouldn't be able to wonder if you existed because you just would not exist. Well, you know, in that sort of way. But I do think that things can be more real than other things. Like, if something exists just in your mind, is it real? Not like a person, but like an idea or a feeling or something. I tend to believe that the more people that are aware of the thing, the more it exists. So if you, even though you can think and wonder at your own existence, if you lived in a cave and had no interactions with anything ever, and nobody ever saw you or thought of you or anything, you would exist, but you would only exist in your own head. So you would exist a lot less than somebody who, you know, goes out every day and talks to a plethora of people. Are you free? If not, how can you become free? I feel like there is a certain amount of freedom that anybody can ever hope to achieve. Like, there are always limiters on what you can and can't do. And even though they say, you know, nothing is possible, if I wanted to go jump off a building and fly, that's not possible. So, you're free in a sense that you can make decisions and try to do things, but you're not free in a you-can-do-anything sort of way. How can you become free? You can't, not in this reality. But you can become more free or less free, you know, like if you're in jail, then you're less free because your options are very limited. But if you are, you know, not in jail, have no responsibilities, if you have no restrictions on anything that you can do, then you're probably the most free. So earning a lot of money is one of those things that you can do to become more free, because you can get away with a lot more things and you can finance more of your interests, I guess. So maybe the actual value of currency is freedom or something. It's a very capitalistic approach to things, isn't it? But, that's the White Rabbit questionnaire. If you liked listening to my somewhat, or very disorganized and barely edited rambles, let me know, I guess. And if you would like to discuss with me some of these questions or some other questions, please feel free to leave a comment or a PM. Thank you for hanging out with me while I contemplated this. I hope you enjoyed yourself listening to me as much as I enjoyed myself talking. Yeah. I hope you have a lovely rest of the day, or evening, or what have you.